Indeed. Nothing like getting a message from a 12-year-old in Hawaii who says, we're driving around with my cousin. He loves Coast to Coast. Say hi to him. RJ, hello from your cousin, Kristen. You know, tonight we're going to be talking about mind control, electronic harassment, and also something very new here called voice-to-skull technology. This apparently is a relentless torture of voices that talk into a person's head 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In a moment, Roger Tulsis fills us in on Coast to Coast AM. Roger Tulsis, he's a Los Angeles private investigator. He specializes in electronic countermeasures. In the past 30 years, he has swept more than 2,500 locations for bugs and wiretaps. That number is even higher now. In recent years, his business has included helping victims of electronic harassment and mind control. Electronic harassment takes place, by the way, if someone uses any electronic device to aid them in invading your person or property, invading your privacy for the purpose of gathering information illegally or for the purpose of causing you physical harm. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Roger, how are you?
Hey, there he is, George. Always great to modulate the waves with you.
Never has there been a time that your services weren't needed like this. My gosh.
Yeah, last time I was on with Art Bell, boy, we were going over all this government spying and all the Patriot Act has allowed all these terrible things to crush our Fourth Amendment rights, and things are getting worse. Just, it's horrible.
You know, there's a plus and a minus to some of these, and I want to get your take on it tonight, Roger. And then in the next half hour, you're bringing us a very special guest who has apparently been bombarded with this voice-to-skull technology that we're going to talk about. So I'm looking forward to chatting with her, too. The plus and minuses, let me ask you this. You know, like in Britain, they've got these cameras all over the place. And, you know, whenever there's a true crime, I mean a real crime, chances are they've got it on videotape. They might be able to get the suspect a little quicker. Is that a plus, as far as you're concerned, to have cameras everywhere?
Well, I don't think so, George. And, you know, the Founding Fathers, when they put the Fourth Amendment into place to give us the privacy that, we have, at least in our homes, they never had the conception that we'd be able to be watched 24/7. Had we been able to explain to them at the time that they were formulating our privacy and putting these things into the constitutional protections, had they had some idea that you'd be out in public and watched the better part of the time that you're in on any major street in the city, I think that maybe they would have extended those protections outside our homes as well.
Well, maybe so. I mean, I know, for example, in my hometown of St. Louis, they've now got cameras by traffic lights, and these things are clicking because you can see the lights going on at night. Man, if you miss your light by a nanosecond, they've got you, and you get a ticket.
Well, and the other part of that is that who really witnessed the crime? I mean, from a legal standpoint, there really isn't a human witness. And most of law in terms of being found guilty or being charged with a crime has to do with a human being witnessing a crime that can testify against you, and you can challenge that testimony. And here you've got this technology, and a lot of cases, these pictures really don't really show any particular person driving a vehicle. So the whole thing's gray area. A lot of those here in the U.S. get dismissed. But I know we're going to be getting some calls from England tonight because I've heard from some people that are very interested in contributing to this.
Okay, good.
So we're going to do so. When those people call in from England, you might get their take on what it's like to be in a Big Brother society.
You know what's strange too, Roger? It seems that camera technology is now low-tech technology because there are new things coming out all the time.
Well, that's where we're going to do some groundbreaking discussions tonight about some of this covert technology that's been developed and is being actually tested on citizens. And this subject matter tonight, dealing with the voice-to-skull V2K mind control.
That's scary, Roger.
This is really going to be scary. Not only is it going to be scary, but when I get calls now from people that have electronic harassment problems, and I get 3 to 5 new calls a day here from the United States, and that doesn't count Europe because we have people come in from Europe as well. But more than 75% of these people that are now being harassed have voice is being projected into their heads. And this is going to be the way that's going to make the technology that's going to make warfare obsolete, because when you can go to the battlefield and you can turn on devices that will put literally jam people's heads from the inside out, it's going to make war obsolete. People are not going to be able to stand up and fight. Armies are not going to be able to oppose you when you're able to create havoc within their own brains.
Before I started talking to you back a few years ago, Roger, and we were getting calls from people who said, you know, I hear voices in my head, I hear this or that. You know, I would listen to them and I'd be concerned, but I have to tell you honestly, I would think, well, you know, maybe this person's a little schizophrenic. Maybe they're just, you know, I don't know, there's some kind of interference with a radio station. I don't believe that anymore.
All right, well, that's what our show is tonight. Is this fact or is it fiction? And hopefully, after you get a chance to talk to this one particular individual who's had this problem, who we put through our test protocol, and she's also has her own, she's developed her own ways of handling this successfully. After we discuss that, you talk to her directly, and you're able to understand what it's like to have this going on. We can open these lines because I know there's thousands of people that want to call in tonight. I've been hearing from them all day that want to have a few minutes to discuss what it's doing to them. And this is really an opportunity to do some groundbreaking radio tonight, because, you know, the media has not talked about it at all. Nobody really knows about this covert technology, even though it has been around since 1989. If you go on the bugsweeps.com website, you go to the electronic harassment section by clicking on the box, you can see the original patent for voice-to-skull technology, which is the Stockland patent, 1989. And what happened was this fellow, they gave him the patent to be able to use microwaves to put voices in people's heads. But then after that, all the development that went on after that, all those patents are missing from the public patent office. They all went into the covert secret patent section.
Right. They're in the old black ops section.
That's right. Yeah.
The surveillance and the harassment has moved. It's shifted over the years. You believe now it's into a bio-coded directed energy. Tell me about this shifting. Why the shifting?
Okay, well, what they were doing originally is when they had this Stockland technology, they would use this voice-to-skull technology, and they would, let's say we directed it at a group of people. Well, everybody in the group would be hearing the broadcasted voice in their head. So the next technology or the next step to this thing was, how do we go about individualizing this transmission so that not everybody that's being in the targeted area is actually receiving the harassment, the voice in their head? How do we go about getting that voice into the head that we want to get it into?
Without getting it into somebody else.
That's right, yeah. So what happened was, after that is I tried to find out as much about how the development was going since 1989, which, you know, at the speed of technology these days, when you talk about there being a 15-year or 18-year gap, you know, there's a tremendous amount of technology that can go on, especially if you're putting millions of defense dollars, and DARPA is involved, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And they put these millions of dollars into this. So what I was able to discover by analyzing some secret Soviet Union spy information, in other words, the Soviets were spying on this project to try to find out what we were doing. And I was able, through being able to decode some of this Russian information, that they were able to tune the signal so that it has a bio-coded resonance with your personal DNA. So people will say to me, well, how would they go about getting my DNA? And I say, all I have to do is get the garbage. When you put the garbage outside on the street on Wednesday night or whenever the garbage pickup is, your DNA is in that garbage pail.
In some form or fashion.
Absolutely. It's going to be in the toilet, some of the Kleenex tissues or something of the toiletries. It could be on the food, putting your...
Okay, so tell me this, though. Is what's happening now being done as an experiment on people? I mean, why in the heck would they just pick someone at random, go through their garbage, get their DNA, and then start bombarding them with voice-to-skull technology? Or are they experimenting on people all around the country?
Well, once again, under that Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520A, they can do bioweapons experiments on the citizens of our country for any law enforcement purpose. Originally, the original 1520 was that they could do it on anybody for any reason with 30 days notice of anybody in authority. And we went to Senator Barbara Boxer in 1996, and she went to the Pentagon and said, "Well, you know, I don't know what this is about. I don't even remember passing this." And actually got attached to a military appropriations bill, another, you know, kind of thing where they snuck it in. And then what happened was, as we brought it to her attention, she got it stopped. But then on the next military appropriations bill, they modified it to 1520A, and they passed that non-lethal weapons over from the Department of Defense over to the Attorney General, so that they wouldn't be in conflict with the international laws about doing torturing people. So it's complicated on how they had to shift it around so they wouldn't be breaking international law relating to treaties relating to torture.
Well, we know they've experimented on us before, Roger. So
oh, yeah.
Nothing would stop them now, I don't think.
No, and this is a frightening technology. You know, many times you hear on the news, this woman, she drowned her three children in the bathtub because she had voices in her head. God was telling her to drown her children. Or we hear about a guy that goes to a campus with automatic weapons and shoots up the campus because God told him that this is something he needed to do. So, you know, you have these situations where people are actually saying, and, you know, I have to tell you, it's really interesting. When I watched the George Bush running and debating when he was going against Kerry.
I know it.
Don't want to mention this.
Here we go.
The first night of the debate, he did terrible. He kept on saying, you know, it's a really tough job being president. It's a really tough job. And he did very poorly in the debate.
Yes.
But on the second debate, he was sharp on every answer. It was like, what happened, you know? And my belief is that they said, let's get this technology rolling here in this debate. Let's be feeding him the information. He needs to be speaking at the time to make sure he's sharp.
Well, what's happened since? They're not using it anymore then.
Well, you know, what's going on in the country now, the overall collapse of the country is something that is a premeditated event. And, you know, George Bush Sr. was the guy that initiated the New World Order. And then when the sun got in, it was just a matter of doing the necessary items to move us more towards multinational corporation control. And you
True.
Can see right now with the gas prices, when they call these gas executives in front of Congress, They were powerless to do anything to get the price to reduce. Just shows you the power of the multinationals. They really are more powerful than the government, and that's just one example of it.
And they've gone down somewhat, but you know what? They're still high, and they're still going to make a lot of money with these prices the way they are. Are there any other countries that are doing this kind of voice-to-skull technology?
Yeah, most of Europe is involved, and the European Union's in it. We've had people in from Spain and France and England, so and Australia as well.
So they're going to unleash this in mass together.
Yeah, well,
together.
The whole idea is that once you conquer the battlefield, then you run into the problem that they ran into in Iraq, where, okay, the battle's over, but yet you have this civilian population. We can't get a handle on it. We can't stop them. And they did bring that technology into Fallujah. You can read the reports about them putting dishes up on the tops of buildings, and also the reports that our soldiers that happened to be downwind of this microwave system were getting sick and were hurt from the experiments they were doing in Fallujah. But that was the first application where they took microwave dishes, put them on the building, and they tried to saturate the city to stop the violence. I think they were successful with it.
Would they be able to do mass voice-to-skull technology? I mean, earlier you're just saying how they needed to pinpoint this to someone and bypass someone else.
Yeah.
What if they decide, we're going to get everybody at the same time?
Well, how about if you have an event like a Rodney King event where you have a specific section of the town that has a specific genetic type of people living there? What happens if you code that signal for, you know, all people, you know, once you have the genetic coding figured out, then you can actually separate this thing down on not only an individual basis, but probably you can do it on a biologically genetic-like
Amazing.
Group as well.
Amazing. So they could just flip the switch and get everybody at one time if
well,
they
get,
wanted
get,
to.
Get different ethnic groups at one time. Because, you know, most...
Or everybody at one time.
Or everybody at one time as well. Just bring everybody to their knees where their brains are just non-functional and they really can't oppose you because they're too sick, they're too mentally disoriented to do anything.
Tell me about Marcia, who's going to join us shortly.
Okay, Marcia is a victim of voice-to-skull technology, and she came across the United States twice to go through our testing protocol. And let me just give you a quick rundown of what that is. The testing protocol that we use when somebody calls and says, you know, I'm being electronically harassed, I got voices in my head 24/7, I've got a lot of other physical symptoms that we've discussed before. I can run through those as well if you want to take a quick cruise through those.
Yeah.
But let me just do that for 1 second. You've got symptoms like headaches and eye irritation and dizziness and nausea and skin rashes, facial swelling, weakness, fatigue, pain in the joints or muscles, buzzing, ringing in the ears, skin numbness, abdominal pressure and pain, breathing difficulty, regular heartbeat, remote sexual stimulation, and hearing voices, that kind of problem. We also have people that have dream insertion, where they will not only be affecting the brain when the person's conscious, but they will insert dreams into their sleep period to be able to control their subconscious in that manner as well.
Okay, now in her particular case, why her? Why'd they pick her?
Well, here's the interesting thing, is that when we look at the individuals that come to us, they are all races, all age groups, so they're actually testing on everybody. There's no particular group. However, if I go into the history of the individual, generally, I find out that there was some reason they got themselves in a conflict with the government. They were a whistleblower. They were a drug dealer. They were somebody that got themselves into... I had one lady that had a car accident with a military general where she sued the general because it was his fault. And the day after she filed the lawsuit, she went into this particular program. So it can be any number of reasons that get you in there. But when you consider that they want to control all levels of... individuals in society, that's one of the reasons that we've actually run into some children that have the problems as well, but more adults than children.
If 10 people come in, Roger, how many do you really believe this is occurring? How many really might just have a little problem?
All right, here's where it's going to get interesting. I'm going to, you know, tonight we're going to look, is it fact or is it fiction? So why don't we take the calls later on from people that only have voices in their heads? In other words...
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll open up a special line just
right.
for them.
Okay,
and then
after you and I give 3 minutes or 4 minutes to each one, you don't have to hear the extended story, but let's hear the highlights, ask the people to give us a few minutes of what the voices are doing with them, how they're suffering from it, whether they've done anything
right.
to get
relief.
You
tell us then what you think.
Well, no, I'm going to have you tell me at the end of the show.
Me?
Yeah, well, listen, you're going to hear the testimony of all these people, and fact or fiction, I'm curious to see, after you hear all these random individuals, and you find and you start to see these common threads, whether you think it's an illusion or whether there's some commonality to it. There's some technology thread that seems to run through each person's difficulty.
All right, we're going to get Marcy on the line here in just a moment. Roger, we'll be back with her and you as Coast to Coast continues. Well, this email right in off the printer. Approximately 10 years ago, George, I was standing in line in a store in Berkeley when a man walked up and stood in line right behind me. I did a double take. Why? He had a cooking pot on his head. I sort of grinned and said, "Nice pot." He smiled back and said, "Well, it's the only way to keep the voices out of my head." And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Roger Tulsis, and we've got Marcia Lee with us. Roger, tell me a little bit now how Marcia came to your office, what you did for her, and then we're going to chat with her for their 30 minutes or so.
Okay, great. Yeah, we when we have somebody that comes in and we has these kind of difficulties, we put them through a testing protocol, and the first thing we do is we run them through a biochip scan. In other words, we want to see if they have a microchip implant and eliminate that as a possibility. So that's a process that takes about 4 to 5 hours. And we use a tuned antenna system and some high-gain special preamplifiers that go into a spectrum system. And we look for the processor noise of the chip itself. In other words, any microchip that's actually doing a job is emitting processing radiation. There's a certain noise, electro emanation, and this particular system looks for that emanation. And we've had good success finding chips, especially ones that will not show up on an MRI or a CAT scan because they're made of biocompatible materials, some of them, and they don't show up on the imaging systems. So that's the first thing we do, is try to eliminate that. This is actually, the whole process is really a process of elimination. Then the next thing we do is we spend we'll actually put them to bed that evening, and we'll then cover them with some special shielding material that we have, which is passive shielding. This is a special material that we get from Germany. It's a nickel silver woven metallized fabric. And what we'll do there is attempt to shield them from electromagnetic energy that's coming at them to see if, from a, just a passive standpoint, we can reduce some of the effect that they're getting. The next thing that we do for the next 24 hours, we put them in a room with a spectrum analyzing system that's set up to capture information that comes as directed energy. And this particular system is a computerized system that, as it captures things, it summates the waves so that if these events, these electro-directed energy events, are very short in duration, that it'll capture and store it in memory. And we're able to look at a summated wave over time to determine what directed energy, what frequency, what bandwidth, what waveform is in coordination with the symptoms that they're having.
Okay.
And then the next step is to put them in an active shielding system. We have actual static field rooms that you go into, and the room is an electrostatic egg, and you go to a whole nother level of shielding where it throws the bias of the incoming wave out of whack, and people start to get some serious relief.
All right, let's bring Marcia in right now. Marcia, hello there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? That's the question.
Well, I'm a lot better since I know Roger.
Tell me about these, how this first started to happen to you.
George, this is so bizarre because I'm the most average mainstream person without any problems with the government or anything else. Mm-hmm. And I live in New York. I live in Manhattan. And this is like a New York real estate kind of thing. I live in a building that was rental and became a co-op, but I have a rent-controlled apartment.
Okay, yeah.
So the woman who was in the apartment next door to me bought her apartment, and in time she sublet it out to this really strange guy. And nobody could figure out kind of where he was coming from because he looked like a gnome. Just very weird, and he was very antisocial. But he found out that I had a rent-controlled apartment, so actually he was paying a fortune for his, and I was paying much less for mine right next door.
Okay.
So what happened over time was that there was a couple who lived on the floor below who had owned a security company, and they had lost their license and had fallen into very hard times. So somehow he hooked up with them. And one morning I woke up and I had these voices, which was of the couple who had the real estate company and him. And they were telling me that I had no choice, my situation was hopeless, that I was going to have to turn over the key to the apartment to the people on the second floor, the key to my cottage in New Jersey, and the key to my car, and just leave.
And these voices were being bombarded into your head.
Yes. Once this starts, you have these voices 24/7.
When you hear them, Marcia, do you hear them as if they're coming into your ear, or are they like in your head, like we would think thoughts? And you know when you think of something, we know what the thought is, but it sounds like a voice, but it's in our head.
What happens is that they come at you in a couple of different ways, because they they have a schedule and they rotate with each other. If you're into a situation where you really have to concentrate, what they'll do is mob you. Let's say you were taking an exam.
Okay.
Or you're in a meeting with people. Okay, I was working at Bear Stearns Security Company, you know, working with millions of dollars for different things.
Sure.
If you're in a meeting with people and you really have to be sharp, what happens is they will mob you, which means that they'll bombard you with information while you're all dressed up and talking to people.
They must have bombarded everybody at Bear Stearns after what happened to
them. Poor Jimmy Kane. I know he had to go there with armed guards.
Jeez,
the poor guy.
You never know.
The place
now.
Closed. But what happens is they will mob you speaking. The voices will speak to you so that you get confused with the information that the person at the meeting is telling you.
No.
So you would be not as sharp as you could be unless you were very alert about this.
Well, difficult.
I am all the time.
Difficult to concentrate if you're hearing voices at the same time.
What happens is that once these people start in on you, it's the same way as Roger was telling you. It's 24/7. If you read a newspaper, if you read a book, they will talk along with you. You know, with the words. If you call up, let's say, for banking by phone, and you give your social security number and the information to get your account information, they'll repeat everything with you.
So if you see, you know, if you say your social security number, which you probably already have.
And your password.
They'll say it right back into your head.
They say it to you because what happens is this would make you feel that your privacy is totally compromised. And then they're going to threaten you and tell you that one of these days you're going to call up and they'll take all the money out of your account.
Now, in your particular case, Marcia, what do you think they wanted? Were you being tested or were they truly out to get something from you?
What they want me to do is to give up the apartment. That's what they tell me.
They wanted the apartment. Why?
That I have to give. Bringing the woman who had the defunct security company still lives in this building on the second floor in very dire circumstances, and people pay $500,000 for apartments in this building. So she's in a situation where she's totally out of her element.
So they want you out.
Right, and the guy who was subletting the apartment next door, the managing agent, asked him to leave because he was having a problem with other tenants in the building because he was so antisocial.
Now, Roger, in your opinion, is this individual, this gnome-type character that's been bombarding her, is he working on his own, or does he have some kind of government backing, or what?
Well, you can't go down to Radio Shack and buy this kind of equipment.
Okay, that was my next question.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is, when I deal with cases like this, a lot of times they're just running a single test. As an example, you know, in the most drastic example, let's see if we can get her to drown her children. But let's also deal with the lighter kind of examples. Let's see if we can get this person to give up all their assets.
Okay.
To hand over the keys to their home, to hand over the keys to their car. These are individual tests that they've decided on individuals to how are we going to go about achieving the end result, and what protocols should we try along the way to see if we can get it to happen. So in a lot of cases, they're just trying to get people to do very simple things, but there are other more serious cases where they do try to get people to commit suicide.
Is the goal to get people to do things against their will, things that they normally wouldn't do, like in Marcia's case?
Yes.
She doesn't want to give up the apartment.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to find something of interest. But to you and me, you know, in terms of if we were sitting back at the Pentagon trying to figure out, well, how are we going to run some basic tests? What do we want this person to do? Because really what you're trying to do here is you're trying to cause someone to do something that they wouldn't want to do, but just eventually you just wear them down.
Exactly, because they keep telling you that your situation is totally hopeless. And then what happens is that the harassment takes different facets. For example, they create a targeted frequency. I have two little parakeets, and what they do is they targeted a frequency against the parakeets. So all of a sudden they would start screaming in their cage and fluttering all over the place, and then these voices would laugh, whoever was on there, and they would just tell me that they were going to drive the parakeets crazy until I gave up all, you know, the key to the car, the key to this apartment, and the key to my place in New Jersey. and that they were going to take over everything.
Did you ever end up giving up anything?
This is what I did do. I had, and this is how I found out a little more about how this works. I had a friend who owned restaurants, and I told him just part of this, which was that this guy was harassing me, and all of the people in this building go to his restaurant because it's right on the corner and it's a neighborhood place, and he took the apartment for 2 years.
Okay.
And I moved to New Jersey. Now, the people he put in the apartment had problems, but the guy next door hadn't been kicked out yet, the little gnome. So the restaurant owner went to speak to him, and he was explained to him that these people that were in the apartment worked for him and that there was no reason for them to be having an apartment, you know, a problem in the apartment, and that this guy better, you know, get his act together. So what happened is that he didn't bother those people the same way he had bothered me. But when I was out of this apartment, I still had the same problem.
Hey, Marcia, talk a little bit about how you get the voices under control.
Okay. This is what happens is that these people will talk to you 24/7.
To the point where you're ready to go nuts, I would guess.
Yeah, well, what they do is they keep making repetitive hostile comments to you about every conversation that you have with somebody. Every time you drop something, the person who is on the computer talking to you at the time will laugh.
Can they hear you talking to someone?
Well, the whole point of it is that they evade your life to this point, is that they can actually see what you're seeing. Your eyes become like cameras. And Roger can probably explain
Roger, I'll talk with you about that next hour, the ability to tap into them to be able to see through their own eyes.
They rotate their shift, but they live your life with you 24/7. So everything that you do, they participate in, and they have negative comments about.
All right,
you're going to the bathroom, taking a shower, putting your makeup on, driving your car. They're with you all the time.
How did you finally fight that off?
What you have to do is you really have to have a life plan for yourself, which is that every day you say you're going to survive the day by concentrating very carefully on what you're doing. So what happens is you don't let them intimidate you into not using your bathroom. I have spoken to people who are in this thing, and they won't shower in their house.
Well, didn't
One
you, though?
One lady who works at a hospital and has a high executive position, they make her go to her hospital and shower in her office because she thinks they can see her. You have to have a lot of self-confidence. No matter what these people tell me, I do everything I'm supposed to do.
And Roger, though, do you put up a shield to fight this?
Yeah, we have several different techniques. But one of the interesting things is when we put this active electrostatic shield around individuals for a period of a day or two, there's a tremendous change in their harassment level. A lot of it shifts downward. The voices start to get weak. They struggle to get through. Get rid of their anxiety. In other words, you imagine your anxiety build up and your nervous tension build up with somebody. You know, and there's sleep deprivation involved with this as well because, you know, these voices a lot of cases. And, you know, sleep deprivation is one of the key
things. That's a very key element to the whole thing.
That's like torture.
It is torture. That's what the CIA
does. It really is. It's 24. George, this is so incredible, but it's 24-hour torture. Some of the people that I've spoken to for Roger, you know, just to go over symptoms with them. Sleep deprivation is a very important aspect of the harassment because these people have very responsible jobs and need to sleep, and that's when they will scream at them.
Has this all stopped for you now, Marcia?
Oh, no, not at all.
It's still going.
It's ongoing. What happens is I've learned how to do things in order to control it more.
it's too powerful, Roger, or can it be fought?
Well, basically, when you get to the shielding, you're able to get relief at least while you're sleeping because you can stay in this electrostatic egg. The other thing that's really very interesting about this is they don't bother dealing with people that are not intelligent. All the people that we deal with, I would say a good 90% of them are all like Marcia, very articulate, very intelligent, are actually trying to take some kind of plan against this problem. And that's a real thread that we see there. They're not going after the dumb people because they can already control the dumb people. You know, the people that are just the sheeple, the ones that just go with the program.
Right, the followers.
Yeah, it's the people that think for themselves that they want to go after. So the majority of these people we're going to talk to tonight, especially when you open the lines, you're going to find are going to be top-level professional people that are very articulate and very bright. They're not going to be unable to explain things.
But, George, let me give you an idea, too, about how devious these people are and the stuff they do. The apartment next door where this gnome was living.
Well, I love the way you said it, the gnome was living.
Well, I could say more, but we're on the radio.
Yeah, that's right. You're being kind to him, right?
Yeah, exactly. What happened is I was walking along in the street, and the woman who lives in the apartment under him stopped me. And she said to me, I hope that you don't think I'm crazy, but I really have to go over some things with you.
Oh, my.
And I knew it was going to be stuff like this, so I said, well, I know you're crazy. That's why you live in the building, you know, and I made jokes about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I said, but what's going on with you? And she said, you know that weird man that lives on top, that was living on top of me? I said, yeah. So she said, this is what happened. Every time I get up from my sofa and I walk to my kitchen, there's footsteps that follow me. When I turn on my kitchen sink, somebody turns on a kitchen sink. When I go into my bathroom and I flush, somebody flushes. When I start my shower, somebody starts a shower. What happens is that her whole apartment I guess Roger can explain it better, but duplicate sounds to everything she's
doing. Now, did this guy stay up there all the time?
Yes, he didn't work.
Oh, if he did work, it was for somebody else, I guess.
Yeah, he had no employment.
No, it's interesting, George. There was one individual like Marcia that told me an interesting story. He was he was being experimented on just like this. And one day he was driving in Los Angeles here, and he got pulled over for a traffic citation. And he had an outstanding warrant, you know, a court problem that he didn't take care of.
Or forgot or whatever.
Yeah, and so the officer said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to arrest you. So he puts the guy in handcuffs and puts him in the back of the patrol car.
Right.
And he's now in a position where he can see the computer screen. So the police officer goes in there, types in that he's taken this individual into custody, and all of a sudden the screen comes up with do not arrest and do not detain.
Huh.
Wow.
And the officer looks back. He says, well, I don't believe this. I've never seen anything like this before. He gets out of the car, opens the back door, takes his handcuffs off, says, have a nice day.
Yeah, lets him go.
Yeah, because these experiments are so important that they don't want them altered in any manner.
Well, Marcia, I wish you well. You keep up the good fight, okay?
I am.
All right, very good. And we'll be back with Roger Tulsis in just a moment. We'll talk more about what's going on there. And later on tonight, we'll open up the phone lines as well. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.